Welcome to episode 697 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Superman Sunday episode, and today I'm going to be talking about Supergirl number 26. It's from writer Mark Andraco. We have pencils in this issue by Kevin McGuire. Inks by a few people. We have Sean Parsons. Scott Hanna handles the inks for pages 4, 6, 10, 15, and 16. And then we have Wade Von Grobiger handling page 7 and pages 18 to 19. So when we last left Supergirl in issue 25, she had been teleported away from the site of the planet Krypton, the place where it exploded, and had showed up in the Vega sector, which is home to the Omega Men and their enemy Harry Hokum, and the Citadel, which is sort of the ruling party, if you will, of that section of the galaxy. And Supergirl had been basically defeated by Splice, and as I said, teleported away. So she wakes up here. She's not sure where she is. She's in some shackles, and she turns and looks and says, "Who the hell are you?" And we see there is Harry Hokum along with some scientists and some guards. He introduces himself, and Supergirl's thinking to herself that she knows who he is. He's actually an American, of all things, who overthrew the Citadel, became the ruler, declared himself emperor of the Vega system, and he's basically a megalomaniacal space Nazi. And she doesn't want Hokum to know that she knows who he is, because she thinks that will be bad for her, basically. And Hokum, for his part, is like, okay, so now what do I do with you? It's clear from the conversation that he has with his scientists that he has basically extracted Kryptonian DNA and Kryptonian cells from her, genetic material, basically. And so now he's not sure what he should do with her. He says, well, technically your usefulness is over now, and I could simply execute you, but it seems like a tragic waste of such a pretty frame. And so he knows who she is as well, and says, tell me, Supergirl, what are you doing so far from Earth, right? You superheroes tend to stay pretty close to my birth planet. And Supergirl's like, oh, you want to know? I'm on a secret mission. Come close, I'll tell you what it is. And when he gets closer, she spits in his eye, which obviously he does not take kindly to. And his guards immediately grab Supergirl and start kind of knocking her around. And Splice then shows up and says the transport ship is ready. Should we take her to be processed? So Supergirl's thinking about the fact that she doesn't have any superpowers. She could really go for some yellow sunshine right now. But she's been, it's been too long since she's received any yellow sunlight radiation. So as Splice and her guards take Supergirl away, Supergirl is talking to Splice saying, you know, I don't really understand why a powerful woman like you would be serving a fool like Hokum. I mean, in this day and age, women serving a blowhard man is so, what's the word I'm searching for? Oh yeah, pathetic. And this provocation or instigation by Supergirl prompts exactly the reaction she's hoping for. Splice tells her guards to halt and literally blasts Supergirl, like stuns her, not realizing, of course, that this was Supergirl's plan all along. And Supergirl thinks to herself as she feigns unconsciousness that Tamaranian solar power is not quite as smooth as Earth's, but, you know, she'll make it work, as she tells herself not to react and kind of let Splice gloat over her as she's saying, you know, I've heard the legends about you and your cousin, and they're so unearned. Who's the pathetic one now? So the jailers pick up the seemingly unconscious body of Supergirl, and they toss her into the hold on a ship, saying, well, you know, it's too bad that we don't have time to play with this one. And Supergirl's thinking, gross, as they toss her in, saying, get in there, pink skin. And these guards are being summoned to the metal lab to clean up some medical waste. And they say, well, you know what that means? Better bring some mops and a wheelbarrow. And as they walk away, we see Supergirl peeking through some nearly closed eyelids, and, you know, we realize, if we didn't already before, that she was conscious the whole time. So as this transport is cleared for departure, we see there's another ship that's watching this transport leave this larger ship, and it's Zinder Cole and Crypto. They're in Supergirl's ship, and they're kind of observing. They know they're outgunned, they're outmanned, they're outnumbered. And Cole is saying, is it unreasonable to hope that Kara escapes from these kidnappers on her own? And we all just kind of zoom off on our merry way. It's like, I'm all for underdog stories, no offense, but, you know, I'm just not good with conflict. I'm an archaeologist against the Citadel, the whole intergalactic empire. Yeah, I'm open to suggestions. And Crypto kind of sniffs. He senses something's wrong, and he starts growling. And as Cole turns and asks him what's wrong, all of a sudden we see two hooded figures just materialize in the ship, and they kind of zap Crypto with some kind of electric shock, and they turn to Cole and say, we bring a message for you. And Cole says, really? Because I've got a few words for, and before he can finish his sentence, we see it's that figure we saw previously in prior issues, the guy that's apparently the current leader of the Circle, and what his relationship is to Xander Cole, why he's talking to Xander Cole. Not sure. Perhaps Cole is not who we thought he was. Perhaps this act he's been showing Supergirl has just been just that, just an act, right? He was sent to that bar in hopes that Supergirl would show up there. He would pretend to befriend her and help her. But really, he's been a mole or a spy for the Circle all along. Perhaps, maybe, I'm not really sure. It doesn't seem like he's really happy to see these hooded figures, and it doesn't seem like this leader of the Circle is... He doesn't really address him in a way that makes you think that they're really on the same side, but I guess it remains to be seen. What he does say is, come peacefully with my men, and I'll guarantee your safe passage. If you disobey, I can't be responsible for your fates. And what is clear, though, from Cole's response of you, is that he knows who this guy is, or at least he's met him before. Meanwhile, on the labor planet below, we see the transport ship carrying Supergirl land, and the guards there say, what have we here? And they're told it's a Kryptonian by way of Earth, Hokum's new pet project, and they literally bring Supergirl out of the ship, dragging her down the stairs, kind of knock her around a bit, laughing about it as they toss her in a cell. And again, thinking she's unconscious, but she's awake all this time. And, you know, that little bit of solar energy that she got from Splice has returned her powers somewhat, probably at a diminished level. And she's thinking to herself, laugh it up, lunkheads. I always remember a face. And so once they leave, she gets up and she looks around, kind of get her bearings. And there are plenty of other prisoners there. They talk to Kara. They ask her if they've seen any of their husbands or sons, because apparently it's just women and small children in this holding cell. And Kara introduces herself, and she says, my name's Kara, and they tell her that none of them have even eaten in 3 days. They killed many of their sons and husbands. And so Kara says, well, give me a second. She still has her hands in these restraints. And she's thinking, by her calculations, Splice's solar blast gave her enough power for about 2 hours tops. And so she uses a little bit of that power for some freeze breath to shatter the bindings and free herself. And then she turns to her fellow prisoners and says, okay, who's ready to get out of here? So meanwhile, sort of on the outskirts of that slave camp in the guard towers, there's a couple of guards there manning their post, when all of a sudden they're attacked. And they're both basically shot in the face, shot in the head by sniper rifles, apparently. And we're not sure who is responsible, because all we see is the telltale sign of a little red dot, you know, laser targeting, and then their heads explode. So back on the ship, Hokum is asking his scientists what the status of Supergirl's cells are, and the scientists are saying, yes, so far the cells are viable, the replication rate is accelerated, and Hokum's asking when the first ones will be ready. And the scientists are saying, well, we really don't want to push too much harder because the integrity of the cells could be at risk. And Hokum wants to know what the odds are of failure. And the scientists say, well, I'd say probably about 80%. And Hokum says, well, you know what? I've faced worse. Speed it up. And the scientist seems reluctant but agrees. And as Hokum walks into the lab, we find out just what he's up to. As he says, you know, I'd never thought I'd use Kryptonian cloning technology on an actual Kryptonian. But with an army of Kryptonians, I'll finally be able to eliminate the annoying rebels and their Omega Men. And the odes the Citadel poets will compose of me, the statues they will raise in my honor. So that's his endgame, right? Finally stamp out the Omega Men, stamp out the rebellion, and have greater control over the Vegas system. So back on the slave labor planet, one of the prisoners is screaming to bring the attention of a guard. And when he opens the little portal in the door, he says, what's going on? What are you screaming about? And they say that Supergirl's very sick, and in the corner is her cape and looks to be shuddering. And so the guard says, well, I can't have Hokum's new pet toy dying on my watch. Get away from her, you filthy slaggers, as he opens the door and starts to walk in. And at that moment, Kara slams the door shut on his head and knocks him out. She grabs her cape, she grabs the key, she hands it off to one of the other prisoners and says, free as many as you can, I'll deal with the guards. And as they start to walk down the hallway, she starts to hear this ticking sound. And she says, you know, my super hearing's barely working. Again, her powers are functioning at a very limited capacity. She's like, my super hearing is barely working. That ticking, please don't let it be a detonator. And sure enough, at that moment, as she thinks that, there's a big explosion. And so she turns to the other prisoners that she was leading to freedom and says, everybody okay? Stand down. Let me handle this. As she steps in front of them to protect them from any danger. And all of a sudden, she's surprised by who she sees there. And a voice off panel says, don't make a move. And who is actually there? It's the Omega Men. So we have Brute, Tigor, Scraps, Callista, and Primus. And they know Supergirl as well. Primus says, Supergirl, you know, what are you doing here? As Brute tells Primus, we got to keep moving. And Primus says, yeah, Brute, I know, but we've got to bring Kara with us. We have to hurry. And Kara says, okay, where are we going? And also, we can't just leave without all these innocents that are caught up in the middle of the war. And at that moment, they start hearing some very large banging, some thoom, thoom sounds. And Primus says, you hear that? If we don't move quickly, the Citadel is going to become our tomb. And Callista is, you know, her Primus's wife is urging him on, saying, we don't have time for chit-chat. Let's just do it. And Kara says, do it. Do what? And Primus says this, because he does have telepathic as well as telekinetic abilities. So he basically touches Kara and imparts on her the knowledge of what's been going on in the Vega system, the civil war that's been endlessly raging, the millions that have been dead, that have been executed by the Citadel, including some Omega Men like Nimbus and Harpus. And what they have learned is that Hokum is hiding a power source there on the slave planet in that fortress, and they're there to destroy it and hopefully cripple his fleet. And what Kara sees when she's imparted with this knowledge and these memories is how much it reminds her of Krypton, right? All this death, these planets and races that are murdered, and she says, how can I help? She's going to do anything in her power to prevent another planet-wide genocide, right? She doesn't want what happened to Krypton to happen to anyone else. So the Omega Men keep fighting toward the center of the fortress here, where supposedly this power source exists. And when they open the door to where this power source is supposed to be, there they see Nimbus, Harpus, and Demonia, who are their long-lost friends who they believe had died, and they're not really understanding what's going on here. They're like, wait, what sorcery is this? Our friends died in front of us, like in our arms. Who are these people? How could they still be alive? And Kara says, I hate to interrupt a tender and emotional moment, but while we're trying to figure that out, we've actually got a situation. And as she turns behind the Omega Men and Supergirl herself, they see splices there, along with a whole army of Vegans with their guns drawn, pointed at the Omega Men. And Splice says, kill them all except for the Kryptonian. That one is mine. And we get the blurb of next, Harry Hokum's army of clones. So it's a very fast-paced issue. It doesn't really advance the story of Supergirl's search for answers about Rogolzar at all. I'm not 100% sure what the purpose is to kind of have us sidetracked into this Vegan system civil war and have the Omega Men make an appearance. I'm not really sure. It feels like ever since probably issue 24, the Rogolzar story has kind of taken a back burner to this Omega Men kind of crossover thing. And I'm not really sure. It has a very different feel and a different flavor. Before then, it felt very tied into what Brian Michael Bendis had done in the Man of Steel miniseries and in the current Superman title. And now it's kind of veered off from that. And I don't know. I mean, it's sort of been out of Kara's hands, right? Like she felt the need to go to the site, the former site of Planet Krypton. And when she got there, she got attacked by Splice. And ever since then, she's kind of had the actions and events dictated to her. She's not really hasn't been able to make decisions or really pursue the truth. And so, she got attacked by Splice. She got captured. You know, we saw in this issue, she gets thrown in the slave encampment. She's not going to just escape and abandon everybody that's there. That's not who Kara is. That's not who Supergirl is. She's going to help these people before she returns to her quest. But again, it is definitely sidetracking her. In terms of why DC editorial decided to do this, again, I just have no idea. Are they trying to gauge interest in the Omega Men? I'm not really sure. I haven't been particularly enjoying this sort of detour. I'm not a big Omega Men fan. And the other thing is, I was so excited for this Supergirl run because she was going to be using these different costumes that stored solar energy and such, and we got a little bit of that. But here she's kind of back in her traditional costume, which is fine. But again, it's not something that has me really excited, like some of the earlier issues when she was in these, you know, newer, more modern looking costumes. It was just cool. It was something new and something different. So I'm looking forward to kind of getting back to that storyline and getting back to that journey, as opposed to this, like where we've been for the past couple of issues with the Omega Men. Because I think 25, 26, which I'm talking about today, and then I think 27 as well, obviously is going to have a lot more of this storyline. So hopefully sooner than later, we'll be returning to the Rogolzar story and Supergirl's search for answers. The other thing that I hope that it does is returns us to the more traditional art style for Kevin Maguire. Because I even had to go back and look as I was reading this to make sure it was Kevin Maguire, because the art it doesn't look as much like Maguire as it did at the beginning of the run. Like that first issue he did was just spectacular. And there are moments here where the art is really good, but I don't know, maybe Maguire's strength just isn't drawing aliens. I'm not really sure. The other thing about it is he has three different inkers, I think, on him, inking his pencils on this issue. So I'm sure that affects it as well. So yeah, I just need him and Sean Parsons, and that's good enough for me. But as I said, we have a few other inkers that help him out on this issue, Wade Von Grobiger and Scott Hanna. And so that probably has a little bit to do with why the art seems a little inconsistent. Or maybe Kevin Maguire is just not the best person to be doing space. I mean, he does traditional superhero comics on Earth so well. You know, his run on Justice League is legendary. But I haven't really noticed any of the art not being particularly good when Maguire has been doing the art. I mean, he hasn't done every single issue. I think there was at least one issue that he took off. But, it, I mean, there are still certain scenes where the art is clearly Maguire and it's exceptional. But then again, there are just a few other pages where if I didn't know it was Maguire, I wouldn't be able to recognize it as his art. So I'm just not sure what the difference is, other than, you know, there's three different inkers with three different styles on this particular issue. So hoping to get a return to form, get back to the story that I'm interested in, as opposed to this Omega Men story, and back to trying to find out answers about Rogel Czar, and back to some really great art from Kevin Maguire. So bogging down here a little bit in the middle, and again, I'm just not sure what the purpose of this Omega Men, Supergirl in the Vegas system story is all about. I mean, maybe this is exactly what Mark Andreyko was planning all along, right? Not only is Supergirl out there searching for answers about her past, and, you know, in terms of the destruction of Krypton and the truth about Rogel Czar, but also getting her out there as a representative of the Kryptonian race and exploring the cosmic corner of the DC universe. Maybe DC editorial just wants to have a little bit more of the cosmic corners of the DC universe taken advantage of, and show back up to see what's popular and see what may happen and come from these stories in the future. So it's a good issue. It's not a great issue. And I think the big part of that is just that we're not getting any of the Rogel Czar story, except for, you know, the real quick scene with Xander Cole and Crypto, where we see these agents of the Circle show up on their ship and say, you know, come with us, basically, because we need to talk. That's like literally the only part of the overall Circle story and Rogel Czar that we get in this issue. So looking forward to the return to that storyline, like I said. But I do, you know, I am interested enough to see what happens with the Omega Men storyline. I do want to, you know, have it wrapped up and moved on. But it's interesting because I don't think Supergirl's really going to want to leave if Hokum's still in power. But you can't really have her defeat Hokum, because then there's no possibility for an Omega Men title or to tell more stories, because then you're kind of ending the story, right? It's like equivalent to the Fantastic Four, you know, finally beating Doom once and for all. It doesn't work, right? Or Batman finally defeating Joker once and for all. It doesn't work, because then you can't have that popular character come back and be an antagonist for Batman again. So same thing here. Hokum's got to hang around, because he's got to be the foil for the Omega Men. So I guess we'll see what happens in issue 27 of Supergirl. Hopefully that's going to be the final piece, the final issue of this Omega Men storyline, but I guess we'll see. So thanks for joining, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.